The library conference room is packed with Petersburg residents of all ages eager to learn about salmon on a Thursday night. There are scatterings of inside experts, some biologists, as well as some U.S. Forest Service employees still wearing their fatigues. But they're outnumbered by students from Petersburg Middle School who are there to collect extra credit points. Whitaker begins his talk with a question.
Like, what would happen to make it?
Why do you think we might need to restore something?
Yeah.
Maybe, like, if you get trees or things that fall into it, then maybe alter the course or make it harder for fish or creatures to live in it?
Very good, yeah. That's on the money.
Whitaker says the Forest Service had the same idea decades ago. And by removing those trees, they made a grave mistake.
We actually had some active stream cleaning projects starting, you know, in the 60s and moving into the early 70s. The Forest Service and ADF&G had projects where they would actively remove wood from the channels in this mistaken belief that they were helping salmon transit through those areas up to their spawning grounds a little easier. We know better now.
The logs these agencies cleared were actually part of the architecture of the stream. Removing them had a cascading negative effect that Tongass ecosystems still feel today.
And generally, those types of streams are in the worst shape out of any streams I've seen, are the ones that have actively had wood pulled out. Some of the conditions that are common, simplified habitat, that's sort of the main one, the lack of pools, excessive erosion on certain portions of the stream that change the dimensions usually.
Healthy waterways in the forest are essential spawning habitat for the region's salmon. In the audience, longtime Petersburg resident Grant Trask reflected on another instance of federal infrastructure projects harming Tongass salmon habitat in the 60s and 70s.
Do we all, everyone here, know why we call this place out the road man-made hole? You guys know the reason for it? State of Alaska came into being 1968. Department of Transportation, one of the things they wanted to do was to expand roads. And so here on Metcalf Highway, they were extending it on out to where it stops now. But they needed to borrow some gravel. This is the worst example on Metcalf Island, if I would guess, on how not to do something. So the state of Alaska, when they put out the contract to extend Metcalf Highway, they were taking gravel out of this particular spot, and there were salmon eggs all over. And I was told in 1960, by the time they had that gravel laid out on top of the riprap and the other rock and stuff like that, you could see the reddish color for all the salmon eggs on the surface of the Metcalf Highway. So that's pretty grim. That's pretty grim.
Trask worked for the Forest Service around that time, then fished for nearly 40 years. That's why, he says, he takes threats to salmon personally. Today, Whitaker says his team has settled into the work of cleaning up the previous cohort's mess by recluttering salmon habitat.
It's like putting your thumb on the end of a hose. That water speeds up, the velocity's more, you get more power. So just the opposite of that, if I take it like this and I change the dimension and get it wider, you lose power.
Less power causes creeks to pan out. Whitaker clicks through slides of streams so shallow, they barely tumble over the smallest rocks in the riverbed. The debris is the key. Felled trees create pools where salmon can lay their eggs. They also help regulate water temperature and speed. Unobstructed waterways are weaker and warmer than ones with trees in them. Whitaker says studies show that salmon that grow up in these cool, oxygenated waters, like those created by beaver dams, are bigger by an order of magnitude than farm-raised salmon.
High air temperatures and low water conditions, that's probably the most stressful time for a salmon, is that higher temperature, low water, and I guarantee they're going to be hanging out in the deepest pool they can find.
Restoration projects like these can be very expensive, requiring heavy equipment and occasionally even helicopters to address trees in the river. Contracts cost anywhere from hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars, but the Forest Service doesn't budget for these projects like they used to. While the agency still provides environmental assessments for these projects, Whitaker says they rely on nonprofit partners like Trout Unlimited and the Nature Conservancy to fund the work.
But that's Mother Nature. And I think any time that we think that we're going to improve on Mother Nature, like, we need to give these salmon a heads up.
Whitaker's team is currently planning a watershed restoration project on Prince of Wales Island. The project is large scale and will involve the use of heavy equipment. In Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.